I'm going to be going up to that dinner they're having for the anniversary of the Labor Department.
Yes, on Monday.
When is it? Week from Monday, is it?
No, it's this Monday.
I wondered whether if any of your people were going to come in. I thought I might have them for lunch or over for a drink. Are you going to have many of your council here?
There'll be quite a few.
Otherwise, we could do it at a later date as we did last year. What would be your judgment?
Well,
are you going to have any meeting of the Executive Council in Washington in March or April?
No, there isn't.
I see. Well,
there'll be quite a few of them in for this.
Good, fine. Well, do you think they'd be in time for lunch Monday, or otherwise I could have them over at the White House around 6 o'clock on Monday afternoon? Monday.
The trouble with that is that there's already a cocktail party that we're giving up at the hotel at 6:30, you see.
Right, okay.
We're giving that for all of the people. That's the AFL-CIO's contribution to this thing.
Right, good.
So that wouldn't work, and on the luncheon thing, I don't really know.
Right.
I guess you'd have maybe a dozen of them in all together, but that would be about it.
I see. Well, why don't we let it go. I'd be glad to have them come any time when
I think, Mr. President, if you were to set it up even at any time, like or 10 days or so in advance, you'd get quite a few of them. There's a lot of them in and out of here anyway.
All right.
So suppose we kind of figure on it for about 2 weeks from now.
All right, why don't we just, I tell you what, why don't we just get a tentative date, and we'll do it in March. What's a good day for them, a Friday or a...
No, generally a Tuesday.
A Tuesday.
Meetings on Monday.
All right, well, why don't we do it on March 26th?
26th, that was the March 2026. Well, I'm afraid that's a bad one, too, meeting on New York.
Because the 19th is March is, I'll be in Costa Rica. The 12th of March, is that too soon?
That would be good, I think.
Okay, fine. Well, what?
Tuesday the 12th.
Do you think you could have your secretary send over a list of the fellows we might ask, and we'll go ahead with it?
Yes.
Good.
Who will I send it to over there?
Oh, if you could just send over to Mrs. Lincoln.
Fine.
And then I'll get it out.
Hello.
Good. Fine, Mr. Meany.
I think Carl Albert told Larry O'Brien, or sent word through Larry O'Brien about the same subject concerning this American Eastern merger.
What's your position on it?
For it.
You're for it, yeah.
I talked to Bob about it in some depth, but Bob has a different opinion about it, and we didn't go into it too deeply as a result.
Well, here's only, evidently every other airline in the United States, and this is literal, have come in objecting, because they say that it's going to smother them. It'll be the largest airline in the world, and it will be too tough the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Delta in, and Braniff, and United, and Weston, and they put up quite a case.
I've read a number of their briefs, and I've also read the finding of the Examiner.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's any question about the bigness, but I think that there are two aspects of it that deserve consideration. The first one being the concessions that American Eastern have agreed to make to somewhat limit their own activities in this regard, such as their offer agreement to limit advertising, and also with respect to certain lines where they would be in this position of near monopoly. And they've already submitted those offer of concessions to the CAB. The other one, of course, is something that goes into it a lot deeper. It's based primarily on some conversations that I've had with the former chairman of the CAB, Del Renzo.
Yeah.
Who is from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Who was a chairman under Truman.
Yeah.
And he pointed out...
What's his interest in the matter? Now, he has an airline out there, doesn't he?
He has an airline, but it's not involved in this because it's a completely cargo line.
Yeah.
And I was inquiring of him, he wasn't soliciting.
Right.
My opinion about it, I just wanted to know what he thought about it as a former chairman of the CAB.
Yeah.
And his observations, I thought, were very interesting because he pointed out this, that some of the objections made by Justice to the effect that such a merger being approved would tend to eventually cause or set a pattern to cause 6 or 8 major lines, and that would be it.
Yeah.
He said that he thought that that was probably true, but he also believed that this is probably eventually what should be done.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went into it quite in depth, which I wouldn't want to burden you with
at
this time, but I certainly...
What's the Oklahoma interest?
Oklahoma interest is this. American is our largest employer.
Or is it in the state?
Right, outside of Uncle Sam.
Is it?
It's the largest single employer, a private employer in the state.
Why is that?
Because they have their big maintenance center there.
Oh, I see. Tulsa?
Right.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, but it hasn't come to me, and I guess won't for some while.
No, I'm sure it won't, but Carl said that he sent a word to you through Larry, and I wanted to personally express my interest in it very definitely, favorably.
Okay, good. And how are you doing otherwise?
Oh, fine. Doing a lot of campaigning.
Oh, yeah? How's Kerr doing?
Well, he's working, too.
Is he?
That's a problem.
What kind of speech does he make?
I've never heard him make one.
Yeah.
He never participated at all in politics. I have no idea.
I think you'll find that name, boy, that really evaporates, as I said the other night, fast, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, 2 years.
Keep your fingers crossed for me.
Okay, good.
I appreciate it.
Right on.
Good to have been with you the other evening, too.
Okay, thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Are they pretty mad, the others?
Oh, they're furious, Dorothy. But,
Because Dorothy went through 80 days for nothing, didn't she?
Yes. She should have done this a lot sooner if she was going to do it.
Yeah.
However, I thought you'd like to know very much off the record that things look fairly good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the circumstances for a settlement are better now than they ever were.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it started with your statement, actually.
Oh, fine.
There are a couple things that have happened. First, the prospect that the mayor might make a recommendation is something that the publishers don't want at all.
Yeah.
We've indicated to them pretty much what we might do. And this has been a spur to get them moving.
Yeah.
Now, I know, and publishers don't know this, that the Union Executive Council had a meeting out in Colorado Springs, and they voted to do everything to bring this thing to a quick conclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they met yesterday, and they pretty much settled one of the thorniest issues, and that's the question of outside tape.
Yeah,
the automation issue, so-called.
Yeah.
And they're going back at it today. Now, I think the publishers are a little punch drunk almost because of this Dorothy thing.
Yeah.
And they may not want to move too fast so as not to give the impression that they're too eager for a settlement, but they're dying for one.
Yeah.
And I think that that it ought to come this weekend or very shortly afterwards.
So they finally go for about 13 to half?
Well, I think that they'll do better on the money. They won't be able to settle it without the hours reduction.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally got themselves around to that. Now, what they're thinking about is a 3-year contract instead of 2.
Yeah.
And they're prepared at this moment to offer the hours in the 3rd year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to have some sort of an additional monetary amount in the 3rd year. So the total settlement won't be bad. I think it could be under 13.
Yeah, yeah.
For 2 years, but it'll be more for the 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and
all those papers will end up at 10 cents?
I don't know. I think this is one of the things that has been so difficult. There is, within the publishers' organization, this fight going on between the Times and the News and the Mirror and the Tribune.
Yeah.
The Mirror and the Tribune wanted a dime before this began.
Yeah.
And the Times and the News are the ones that can afford a settlement the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in effect, the others have been saying to them, unless you do something about the price of a paper, you better not negotiate it out of business.
Yeah.
And, of course, I these are things I suppose they don't like to talk about too much. Have it indicated that they are talking about them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't think there'll be any change immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll want to do some reassessing, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was to come shortly afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Fine, good, Ted. Well, let me know. How's Phil Graham doing?
Well, he sort of quieted down at this end.
You haven't heard from him?
No, I haven't heard from him for the last several days.
Yeah, yeah.
Said that he's around and about.
Yeah.
And the publishers were... I think he's been helpful, too. They've had so many blows in the last 4 or 5 days. When Rockefeller very stupidly sent his 2 fellows out to Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
That built up Howard.
Yeah.
He got his picture on the cover of Time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Phil Graham was there, now Dorothy Schiff. On the other hand, the pounding they've taken is the result of your remarks. They put up a bold front on it. They don't like that at all.
Yeah.
And Elmer Brown is here, not because we asked him to come, but because his man Pilch suggested that we ask him to come. And in other words, we called Pilch the other evening, and he said, "Isn't this the right time to bring Elmer back?"
And he
called me the next day, and he said that we had an executive council meeting at the union, and he said, "I want you to know we're going to go all out to get this."
Good, fine. Well, give me.
The atmosphere is a good one, and it was an outgrowth of the statements you made, the opportunity that we got from that to say, well, we're going to suggest a settlement. The desire really of both sides. Elmer doesn't want a suggestion either. It's sort of an affront to their great tradition of marching to a conclusion themselves.
Yeah.
They don't want a recommendation. The publishers don't want one. They'll take arbitration, but not a recommendation.
I see.
They're afraid that it'll establish a new plateau.
Yeah.
So that the pressures on both of them to reach a settlement are really at the best at the moment.
Good. Fine, Ted.
Hopeful, but we'll see.
Okay. Good.
Bye-bye.
Low level. Senegal City was informed the United States has suspended low-level reconnaissance flights over Cuba and is using special, quote, electronic ear, unquote, planes to listen in from outside Cuban territory. Gowart, an Air Force Reserve Major General, said in an interview that he was told the low-level flights were discontinued February 9th, 3 days after Secretary Robert McNamara's television reports on the Cuban military situation. An informed government source said this was an error. The source said low-level flights were being carried out as the need for them arose, etc. Gowart, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said that, quote, electronic airplanes, unquote, are equipped with sensitive devices able to register details of what is going on in Cuba down to the point of detecting a generator in operation. I don't know how much truth there is to it. But I'm sure
there isn't any truth that I know of, but he shouldn't be talking about electronic gear.
But I mean, that's fantastic. Somebody, if it's true, it's a bad security thing.
Indeed. I'll check on that part. I saw the first part of the story. I hadn't seen the electronic gear. I talked to Mac about the statement that he made about low-level flights and our rebuttal to it. And I suggested to Mac that if this continues, we ought to run a low-level flight if necessary just to refute him.
Yeah.
We could pick out an isolated target and run it against that.
Yeah, right. Well, the electronic stuff, is there some new electronic?
No, I'm certain there isn't, Mr. President. I'll look into that. I haven't...
Good. The other thing is the story of Mark Watson's in the Baltimore Sun about that flying over those carriers.
Yes.
Now, he makes the point... it's Paul Ward in the Baltimore Sun. Diplomatic authorities here, this is Washington, tended today to link the latest four Soviet flights over United States naval vessels over the current Kremlin campaign against the projected NATO multilateral force, noting the Kennedy administration recently has advertised a preference for using Polaris armed service ships instead of submarines to make up such a force. They suggested one, the Soviet reconnaissance flights over the aircraft carriers Kitty Hawk, Enterprise, Princeton, and Forrestal, which Senator Secretary were designed only in part to collect military intelligence data. Two, that four Soviet over...